Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
I humbly ask this in the name of the one who changed my life, Yeshua, Isa, Jesus, Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven.
Lord, in the memory of all the saints who from their labors rest, and in the joy of a new beginning, we ask you to help us work for that day when black will not be asked to get back, when brown can stick around, when yellow will be mellow, when the red man can get ahead, man, and when white will embrace what is right.
Some excerpts from Rick Warren's invocation at the beginning of and Joseph Lowery's benediction at the end of today's inauguration. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Well, these things happen as a matter of course. It's almost perfunctory that you would have prominent clergymen stand there before the event begins officially and give an invocation. Another prominent clergyman follow the event with a benediction. So in that sense, there's nothing unique about what happened this morning in Washington, D.C., and yet Rick Warren isn't just any prominent clergyman, and he's certainly not an anonymous clergyman. He is, in fact, of great fame before he stepped at the podium this morning to give his invocation. What did you make of it, by the way? Did you listen to it? Were you listening as carefully there as you were to Barack Obama's inauguration speech? And then civil rights veteran Joseph Lowery took the podium to give a benediction. What did you make of that one? Were you paying attention by that time or tuning out because the event was over? We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, January the 20th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. I want to know what you thought of the invocation and the benediction at the inauguration event this morning. 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Later in the show, we'll talk with Greg Kokel of Stand to Reason about debating some of the strong personality. Rick Warren was asked to do this, and almost immediately there was a bit of a controversy surrounding the invitation. Barack Obama wanted Rick Warren to give the invocation. And of course, other clergy were involved at other levels, but this is the primo spot, really. This is the one that gets the spotlight because everyone's in anticipation of what's about to happen, and they're listening carefully. Rick Warren had nothing to say to the press before he took the podium to give his invocation today, and my expectations were high. I wanted to see that what the kind of invocation that Rick Warren would give would be a distinctly Christian invocation. You know, Gene Robinson, the Bishop of Newark, was asked to give a prayer at a previous event this week, and he said he wasn't going to mention Jesus. I thought Rick Warren certainly will. We're going to listen to the entire invocation, and I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943. What's missing? What surprised you? 1-877-623-6943, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Here's Rick Warren's invitation at the inaugural.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Father, everything we see and everything we can't see exists because of you alone. It all comes from you. It all belongs to you. It all exists for your glory. History is your story. The scripture tells us, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. And you are the compassionate and merciful one, and you are loving to everyone you have made. Now today, we rejoice not only in America's peaceful transfer of power for the 44th time, we celebrate a hinge point of history with the inauguration of our first African-American president of the United States. We are so grateful to live in this land, a land of unequaled possibility, where the son of an African immigrant can rise to the highest level of our leadership. And we know today that Dr. King and a great cloud of witnesses are shouting in heaven. Give to our new president, Barack Obama, the wisdom to lead us with humility, the courage to lead us with integrity, the compassion to lead us with generosity. Bless and protect him, his family, Vice President Biden, the cabinet, and every one of our freely elected leaders. Help us, oh God, to remember that we are Americans, united not by race or religion or blood, but to our commitment to freedom and justice for all.
Okay, we'll pause here for a moment. We'll go back to Rick Warren's invocation at the inaugural this morning. I want to know at this point, what do you think so far of Rick Warren's invocation today? He's talked about God as creator. There is one God. He is merciful and loving. He says, we celebrate a hinge point of history. There's no doubt about that. It is a hinge point of history. Really, every inauguration is, but this one especially so. And he prays for the newly minted president, wisdom, courage, and compassion. What do you think of it so far? 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E. We're coming to you live this Tuesday, January the 20th. Listening to the invocation given by Rick Warren this morning at the inaugural and getting your thoughts and comments on it. Is there anything missing so far that you think should have been included? What about it surprised you so far? 1-877-623-6943. 1-877-623-MY-I-E or talkback at issuesetc.org.
When we focus on ourselves, when we fight each other, when we forget you, forgive us. When we presume that our greatness and our prosperity is ours alone, forgive us. When we fail to treat our fellow human beings and all the earth with the respect that they deserve, forgive us. As we face these difficult days ahead, may we have a new birth of clarity in our aims, responsibility in our actions, humility in our approaches, and civility in our attitudes, even when we differ. Help us to share, to serve, and to seek the common good of all. May all people of goodwill today join together to work for a more just, a more healthy, and a more prosperous nation and a peaceful planet. And may we never forget that one day all nations and all people will stand accountable before you. We now commit our new president and his wife, Michelle, and his daughters, Malia and Sasha, into your loving care. I humbly ask this in the name of the one who changed my life, Yeshua, Isa, Jesus, Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
All right, there's the invocation from Rick Warren given this morning at Barack Obama's presidential inauguration. What's your reaction to it? What surprised you about it? Was there anything missing you thought should have been included? And was there anything included that you thought, wow, I'm really glad that Rick Warren included that with this unique and probably once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to address a nation and to pray on behalf of a president, his family, and the nation? 1-877-623-6943. 1-877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Let's talk first with John, who calls from his car. Hi, John.
Hi. I thought the prayer was very well done. One of the things that amazing to me was he ended it with, through Jesus Christ our Lord. He did it in four different languages, which was really, really, I mean, that was kind of the all-inclusive as far as all-inclusive on the Christian side, which he had no hesitation as far as saying the name of Jesus, which I thought was good. The only thing, and which, I take it that with Martin Luther King, that he was, he was a reverend, obviously he was a reverend and everything, but, to say that he's already in heaven, do we really know that? I mean, I don't know. I was just curious on that, and he kind of assumed it. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I was just curious on that as far as, I don't know if through all his tapes, did he ever proclaim Jesus as his Lord?
Well, okay, thank you. That's a very good question, John, and thank you very much. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. He did talk about the civil rights leaders rejoicing in heaven because of the first African-American president being duly elected in our country. Could be rhetorical flourish. Is it intended to be a hard and fast theological statement? Difficult to tell. 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Randy in Granite City, Illinois says, why didn't Rick Warren wear a Hawaiian shirt at the Obama inauguration? My guess is that it's in honor of the event. My big question is why? After all, there may be some seekers in the audience or watching on television. Some may be considering becoming American. In light of this, shouldn't Pastor Warren and everyone else involved try to dress more like the everyday man and not put up barriers with their clothing selections? I think not. The inauguration of a president is a big affair with much pomp and circumstance. I'll get to the other part of this email right after this. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is full of resources to help you and your congregation observe the season of Lent. It's titled, O Sacred Head Now Wounded. It contains devotions, Bible studies, sermons, children's messages, and bulletins for the Lenten season. You can purchase O Sacred Head Now Wounded by calling Concordia Publishing House, 800-325-3040, or click the CPH logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Sacred Head Now Wounded.
Depression, the Silent Epidemic is the title of a seminar Tuesday evening, February the 10th at the Wisconsin Room at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Beverly Yonke is the presenter. Learn how to spot signs of depression in yourself and how to help others who are suffering, deeply hurting, or depressed. Find out more about Depression, the Silent Epidemic at www.lmcusc.org or by calling 414-332-5732.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. A little bit of audio open lines listening to Rick Warren's invocation at today's inauguration, getting your reaction to this prayer that is now part of history. Randy emailed us before the break from Granite City, Illinois. He wonders why Rick Warren wasn't wearing his trademark Hawaiian shirt. And he says, look, the inauguration of a president is a big affair with much pomp and circumstance. It leads Randy in Granite City to ask, why is it that evangelicals have such an antipathy for any notion of ceremony or honor on the Lord's Day, that is Sunday, yet gladly fall in line when these things are called for in a worldly event? It's a good question. I mean, this thing was all about the ceremony. This was all about the precedent and pomp and the circumstance and, if you will, the ritual of American civic life. In fact, it wouldn't be what it is without that ritual, would it? If we did every inauguration differently, this thing was riddled with ritual, and yet evangelicals will gladly embrace the ritual of civil society or secular society while eschewing it in a Christian context. It's just a good basic question. Why? Why a desire for enduring values, beliefs, and ways of doing things in civil society, tradition, if you will, in civil society, and looking down on tradition when it comes to the church? So what do the rest of you think of Rick Warren's invocation? Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Kia in Birmingham, Alabama writes us. She says that I had a hard time with his prayer. It sounded more like a sermon than a prayer. Even Lowry did a better job of petitioning God, a God, because he did not distinguish between the Islamic God, Jewish God, and God as revealed in Holy Scripture. Well, it's quite true. This is the great danger. You'll find it on Sunday morning, too. Your pastor starts to pray, and pretty soon it's not prayer. It's a sermon. It's announcements. And there's a thin line between commentary there. What are we asking for? I think he got into prayer mode by the time he was about 2 minutes into it. No more commentary. He started praying for actual things. Let's see what Kathy says in St. Charles, Missouri. Hi, Kathy.
Yeah, I did think it was a combination of like a sermon, and of course the part that was the Lord's Prayer was definitely a prayer, and when he was praying directly for the Obamas. I did think, though, the part of the sermon that I liked was the very beginning when he says, everything we see and everything we can't see, it all comes from you, and he was, of course, referring to God. And to me, as being from pro-life position, I thought that I don't know if he was doing it directly or indirectly, but I thought he was making a case for the things that we can't see, the unborn or the preborn. So I thought that was interesting. I don't know if it was intentional, but I thought I liked hearing it because that's directly what I thought of.
Thanks, Kathy. Thank you very much. Thanks for listening to St. Charles. Yes. There certainly was, I think, at the very beginning of this, an effort to say there are things beyond our grasp and beyond our vision that are important to God, and that God is the God over all things, a kind of a generic reference to God. You know, the one thing that I found both a bit thrilling but also a bit concerning about Warren's invocation was his ending. Ending with the Lord's Prayer, unexpected, and I was delighted to hear it. Delighted to hear it. Ending in the name of the one who changed my life. And then he names Jesus, which is good. I won't fault him for naming Jesus. In fact, I'm glad he did. Every preacher should. Praying in the name of Jesus is a good thing. He didn't explain much about who Jesus is to this broad audience of millions there and millions more on television. He didn't explain much about who Jesus is, except this is the guy who changed my life. A rather subjective description of Jesus. What about, instead of the guy who changed my life, how about the guy who suffered and died and gave his life on the cross for all of us and rose again from the dead? Now, that's the Jesus I recognize. A Jesus who merely changed my life, I don't know what to make of that guy. He got the name right. I don't know if he was clear enough on who this Jesus, in whose name he was praying, actually is. Now, let's hear today's benediction from the inaugural. This from Joseph Lowry.
God, I have a dream. Of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who has brought us thus far along the way, thou who has by thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in the path, we pray. Lest our feet astray from the places, our God, where we met thee, lest our hearts, drunk with the wine of the world, we forget thee. Shadowed beneath thy hand, may we forever stand, true to thee, O God, and true to our native land. We truly give thanks for the glorious experience we've shared this day. We pray now, O Lord, for your blessing upon thy servant, Barack Obama, the 44th President of these United States, his family, and his administration. He has come to this high office at a low moment in the national and indeed the global fiscal climate. But because we know you got the whole world in your hands, we pray for not only our nation, but for the community of nations. Our faith does not shrink, though pressed by the flood of mortal ills. For we know that, Lord, you're able and you're willing to work through faithful leadership to restore stability, mend our brokenness, heal our wounds, and deliver us from the exploitation of the poor or the least of these, and from favoritism toward the rich, the elite of these. We thank you for the empowering of thy servant, our 44th president, to inspire our nation to believe that, yes, we can work together to achieve a more perfect union. And while we have sown the seeds of greed, the wind of greed and corruption, and even as we reap the whirlwind of social and economic disruption, we seek forgiveness and we come in the spirit of unity and solidarity to commit our support to our president by our willingness to make sacrifices, to respect your creation, to turn to each other and not on each other. And now, Lord, in the complex arena of human relations, help us to make choices on the side of love, not hate, on the side of inclusion, not exclusion, tolerance, not intolerance. And as we leave this mountaintop, help us to hold on to the spirit of fellowship and the oneness of our family. Let us take that power back to our homes, our workplaces, our churches, our temples, our mosques, wherever we seek your will. Bless President Barack, First Lady Michelle. Look over our little angelic, Sasha and Malia. We go now to walk together, children, pledging that we won't get weary in the difficult days ahead. We know you will not leave us alone with your hands of power and your heart of love. Help us then now, Lord, to work for that day when nations shall not lift up sword against nation, when tanks will be beaten into tractors, when every man and every woman shall sit under his or her own vine and fig tree, and none shall be afraid. When justice will roll down like waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Lord, in the memory of all the saints who from their labors rest, and in the joy of a new beginning, we ask you to help us work for that day when black will not be asked to get back, when brown can stick around, when yellow will be mellow, when the red man can get ahead, man, and when white will embrace what is right. Let all those who do justice and love mercy say amen. Amen. Say amen, amen. And amen. Amen.
All right, so give me your thoughts on today's benediction by Reverend Joseph Lowry, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. It's Tuesday afternoon, the 20th of January. I'm Todd Wilkin. a fine civic prayer, don't you think? I mean, praying for all the right things, praying for tolerance and justice, and for the president and his family as they embark upon the very difficult task that is ahead of him and of them. No explicit mention of Jesus. I mean, this is a Christian minister praying, and at least Rick Warren had the presence of mind to mention Jesus by name, although it was a Jesus described only as the one who changed my life. If you're talking about a prayer that serves the function of American civil religion, this one served it very well, don't you think? 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Now, see, this is the real problem with American civil religion. It has its place and it serves its function. But remember, in American civil religion, God serves the purposes of the state. God is there in service of the state's ends and the state's goals. And if the state's ends and goals are a fellowship of people that is purely political, then God is called alongside to do that. This is why you can have this kind of prayer with no Jesus crucified and risen from the dead necessary, because that's not what Jesus crucified and risen from the dead is all about. When we come back, we'll talk about debating someone with a strong personality.
Now, only our listeners can cancel us. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Loss of species. Now, who really is to blame?
Answers with Ken Ham, one of the speakers at next month's Answers for Darwin conferences on both the West and East Coasts.
Now, species of animals and plants go extinct every day. But who's to blame? For the past several decades, many evolutionists have actually blamed Christians for the environmental problems we face today. And this includes the loss of many species. They claim that Christians use the biblical dominion mandate to justify the exploitation of animals, plants, and the natural resources. And supposedly it's our fault. But the world's foremost expert on butterflies actually thinks otherwise. He believes that much of the blame for species loss lies with the wasted effort and money chasing evolutionary dead ends. He claims that if the evolutionary elite would stop spending so much effort in their futile pursuit of the phantom of evolutionism and start concentrating their resources into saving what's left in the environment, it would make a big difference. The dominion mandate God gave us in Genesis tells us to study and manage his creation. Just think of the difference that could be made if all of the resources spent on evolution were spent on this mandate instead.
One of the highlights of visiting our Creation Museum is watching our film on dinosaurs and dragons. The Bible actually has a lot to say about them. Discover more when you watch our Dinosaurs and Dragons DVD, which we'll send to you for a gift of any size. Call toll-free at 888-89-ANSWERS. 888-89-ANSWERS.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastors or lay leaders to hold a seminar in your area. Go to theclcc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. A few more minutes with your reaction, some audio open lines to the invocation given by Rick Warren this morning at the inaugural and the benediction given by the Reverend Joseph Lowry at the end of the inauguration. Your thoughts and your comments on that, and then Greg Kokel will join us in just a moment to talk about debating someone with a strong personality. Here's DB calling from his car. Hi, DB.
Hi, Todd. Hey, I just want to get your thoughts, your opinion on what I'm about to say. I agree wholeheartedly with what you're talking about, these prayers being usually just matters of civil religion. And I'm wondering whether I've gotten to the point where I just don't think that I want to see prayer at any of these civil functions. I don't think it's necessary or often helpful, because they're either instruments of civil religion or they become really just speeches rather than prayers, which is pretty much what we just heard. I mean, I think it's the calling of the church most clearly from Scripture, for both privately in our homes and also in public worship, to pray on the behalf of our leaders and for those governing over us. But I just don't see it being a good thing to actually have prayers in the public square, since they're not usually in the name of Jesus. And I wonder if we should do that at all.
Well, that's a good question. Really, I guess, first of all, we're not going to be able to stop it. I mean, it's part of civic ceremony now. It's so embedded in our life as political beings that I don't think we're going to be able to stop it. I've looked at it this way. Look, I don't know that Orthodox Christians, I don't know that Christians who are thoroughgoing in their devotion to Holy Scripture and its teachings there can actually be a part of this any longer without compromise, because what's expected at these events is a generic prayer. And if Jesus is mentioned, it can only be the subjective postmodern Jesus who changed my life. I don't know about you. He might change your life. I don't know. He's pretty good. I like him. It's a matter of the Jesus of preference. The Jesus of postmodernism is perfectly welcome at these events, but not the Jesus who is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. What does this mean? It means that these prayers will continue, and by and large, it will be the Christians who are willing to compromise for the aims of civil religion who will continue to participate in them. I couldn't do it myself if I were asked to compromise. Tom in San Angelo, Texas, welcome.
Hello, Todd. First, with Pastor Warren's idea, I thought that he was correct in saying, "This I ask in the name of Jesus." A chaplain friend of mine said when he is asked in the military to pray before a group, including Christians and non-Christians, he says, "I always say, I ask this, or I ask this in Jesus' name." He says, "I'm praying for me," and not everyone there would be praying to Jesus, obviously, were they not Christians. But with Pastor Lowry's, I thought it was, well, a rather cute and clever use of the English language that I felt was meant more to impress the crowd rather than petition the Lord.
Interesting. Tom, thanks for listening in Texas as well. Yeah, and this is important. Words matter. For Warren to have said, "We ask this," would not have been truthful. To say, "I ask this," might sound a bit particular, but it certainly is truthful. Let's see what Andy has to say in Kirkwood, Missouri. Hi, Andy.
Todd, regarding American Christianity, I don't know whether I heard this on your program or elsewhere, but someone recently defined American religion as moralistic, therapeutic deism, and I think that that's pretty close to right. I do understand that these men are asked to offer words on a public occasion and not to preach doctrine of some kind. I thought that the invocation was a Christian prayer, the benediction more of a general generic God prayer, featuring the cadences and traditions of black preaching. And those are fun to listen to, but doctrinally certainly not necessarily where we want to go.
Andy, thank you very much. It was Dr. Christian Smith, his book called Soul Searching. He was on the program recently, and in that book he talks about moral therapeutic deism, and which is synonymous with American civil religion. If you're going to profess Jesus, then do it the way Scripture requires us to do. Confess him full bore, crucified, risen from the dead, as the Savior of all men. No postmodern Jesus of preference.